Ben the Man for Land Parsons from RE/MAX Property Pros is sitting in for a conversation here on this already Monday morning. And any pink houses on that listing sheet of yours over there, Ben the Man for Land Parsons?
Not on mine.
No pink houses on your list, but you never know what you might find with some of the other folks at RE/MAX Property Pros. So go online to RE/MAX Property Pros. See if there's any little pink houses if you're looking for one of those. Ben, thanks for being with us in person here this morning.
Pleasure to be here.
All right. I know, what did we just talk about a little while ago?
Well, we were talking about, we used one specific potential future listing to segue into, you know, what it takes to maximize the dollar that you get out of your home sale.
One thing that you've been consistent with since the time we started talking about, how many years has it been now? It's been 2 or 3 years now, hasn't it?
Since we've been coming to talk radio. I would say so.
It's been a little while, and so you've had all kinds of different listings through the years, and one thing that you've been consistent with is with your message to people is when you price the property right, it tends to sell quickly. If you have a nice piece of property and it tends to languish on a listing sheet somewhere, chances are a price adjustment might be needed. And so you've been very consistent with that message since we started talking, Ben.
Yeah. Well, and statistically, it's not about just the timing, but also what you wind up with at the end of the day. You know, at the end of the transaction, statistics are showing us over and over and over again that if you price it right, not only does it sell quicker, but the seller walks away with more in their pocket versus a listing that sits on the market for a long period of time overpriced. And then it seems like when you start making those price adjustments to attract attention, you're chasing your tail.
Yeah.
You know, you're fighting the perception of the buyers that are out there that maybe saw it, rode the fence, didn't jump on it right away. So an overpriced property that sits on the market tends to close for less, a lower percentage of the asking price than something that's priced right as soon as it hits the market.
I know when we sold our last house in Stetsonville, I was relying on the professionalism and the knowledge of the local agent right there in the Stetsonville area, and I thought he was right on the money. I was comfortable with the price right away, and our house was sold within 2 weeks.
Right.
And
yeah.
So I learned the lesson firsthand, and I saw it. And I thought at first it may have seemed a little bit low, but then I was thinking in the back of my mind, well, my Ben the Man for Land Parsons buddy back in Tomahawk has taught me that pricing things right the first time is the way to do this. And so I thought, okay, I would have done a little bit higher, but I trusted the professionalism of my agent, and it paid off.
One of the uphill battles that we face is all of the information that's out there available at our fingertips.
Yeah, there's a lot.
When you scroll and scroll and scroll online, on your phone, social media, there is information galore from one extreme to the other. Mm-hmm. And but, you know, when I'm listening to, and we can take that information with a grain of salt, but when we're listening to someone in Atlanta or in Los Angeles or Chicago, yeah, or Milwaukee, one thing that's important to realize is that they're talking about what they see, their market, and our market is completely different here, mm-hmm, in the Northwoods.
But one thing that's got to be consistent is that if you're a property owner and you want to move on to the next property, unless you own that thing free and clear and you got no other bills to pay, if you're still paying a mortgage on that house, I would assume it's even more important, because the biggest fear I had, Ben, was paying two mortgages for an extended period of time. And I had limited funds to do that. And so I didn't want to keep on writing those checks any longer than I had to. And so listening to the advice of the pro really paid off.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a situation not many people can sustain for any period of time.
So to mitigate that issue of a property languishing on the line for too long or on a listing sheet for too long, price it right the first time, listen to the professionals.
Yeah. And sometimes it's just not the right fit.
Yeah.
We can look at these listings and look at comparables and try to get as close as we can based on what's on the market at the current time, what has sold in the recent past, and try to hone in on a number. But each property, it's like snowflakes. Every one of them is a little bit different. You know, maybe the lake is a little different size, the location is a little different place, everything right down to gravel driveway versus concrete driveway, yeah, versus paved, the access road, distance to your nearest trigs. You know? I mean, every little thing factors in. And the funny thing is, too, is a lot of times you have a specific buyer that's right for a specific house, and I've heard it a couple times, too, and I'm not trying to encourage people to sit on the fence, but I have heard from time to time someone purchases a home because it's the closest to what they wanted on the market at the given time, and then a year later or 2 years later, something hits the market, and they say, oh, doggone it, that was absolutely perfect. Now, the cool thing is if you've been in your home at least 5 years, you should be able to make a nice, even transition and not suffer anything on your investment.
Right.
And if you've been there for 10 years, well, gosh, there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to sell where you're at, upgrade to what you really want, and have a little bit of profit there, too.
But the other side of the coin, too, is for some people, after 2 years, that ultimate home may come across the market, but it might not either. So buy the property that you like right now, that you think is going to be best right now. Deal with that today. Worry about what happens tomorrow.
Right. And that's the situation that usually happens. You know, people ride the fence, and they see something they really like. They look at it a dozen times, and they don't pull the trigger. They don't go look at it, or they look at it, and they don't write an offer. And then the next thing you know, 2 years, 3 years later, they're still looking, and they compare everything else they see to the one that got away.
I'm curious how you would handle a situation where you know where the price should be when you're dealing with a client. The client says, well, you know what, let's test the market a little bit here, and let's price it up here in this neighborhood as opposed to what you just suggested. How do you handle that with a client tactfully?
That is such a pickle to be in because, you know, sometimes I can be convinced, all right, I see the value here. I see where you're coming from, but I'm also looking at the market. It's hard to walk away from someone who's asking you for help.
Right.
And they want to sell. They want you to sell it. And even though you disagree with the price, really what I try to do is be forward and upfront and say, okay, well, if that's what you want to do, you want to try it, we can try it. But just understand, here's the disclaimer. If we overprice and it doesn't sell right away, you don't want to be in a position where you're chasing your tail and you end up selling for a lot less than if it was priced right to begin with. Usually that's all it takes for someone to say, all right, you know what? I've done this 2, 3, 4, 5 times in my lifetime. You're doing this, you know, 5, 10, 15 times a month.
Right.
So I trust you. Let's run with it. But, you know, a lot of times, too, if they really want to work with me and they want to try it, as long as they know the potential consequences, sure, let's try it.
Yeah. If they're still paying a mortgage on that house that they're going to want to sell as well, then I think it's time just to get out a calculator, piece of paper and pen, work out the math and see, well, you're going to be paying this, and this every month. While you're paying this, and this every month on this other place, work out the math, and then you probably get a pretty easy answer.
Yeah, taxes and utilities do not stop.
Yeah, they don't. They don't.
Even on a home that's paid off.
So with all that in mind, you came back with a bunch of listings that you've had for a little while. The other question I have when it comes to listings on your list here, when is it considered to be, how long is a listing considered to be too old in your mind? How long is the right amount of time to be sitting on there before people start to wonder, well, what about this property? Why has it been there so long? What is there a magic number?
Yeah, no, well, it's a moving target.
Okay.
Based on so many market conditions, everything from the number of buyers to the number, you know, the amount of inventory to rates. There's so many factors that go into it. So it is a moving target. In my opinion right now, if a property's been on the market for more than a month without any offers, and everything has been done that can be done as far as marketing is concerned, it really is all about the price. I mean, you can have one social media post or 20 social media posts. The same people are seeing it, whether it's out there once or out there 20 times. And sure, you can throw it in front of their face every week or every other day. But what I have found is if you overdo it, especially on social media, people block you or they unfollow or they're sick and tired of seeing the same thing over and over and over, and then they might snooze you for a month. So there's a fine line there between getting it in front of people's face and overdoing it to the point where they get sick of seeing it, and then they're not seeing anything. So you got to be careful to watch out for that. Good marketing strategy, priced properly right out the gate, is always the best point of approach.
So with that in mind, let's take a look at some of the things that are on your list here right now. In fact, one of them you said that when we come to price reductions too, Ben, that's got to be a tricky and kind of a slippery slope to be on. You don't want to, I don't know what the philosophy is. If you're going to make a price adjustment, should it be little by little or just get your best offer out? If that thing didn't sell right off in that first month, better get your best offer out there right now then.
Yeah, what's cool is I want to show you something here real quick. We have a tool, and what you're looking at here, and everybody just has to imagine, you know, that's listening in. But this is the front page of our MLS. Well, if we get right down here to this section called prospecting, I can select any one of these properties here. Let's just pick this one. You know, we've talked about this one before on Sunstein Road between Sugar Camp and Eagle River. And I can say, all right, is it due to price? I can put in a price drop of 5,000, five increments. And this, you know, you hit calculate on this thing. And the first number that's going to pop up is how many searches this home is in. So there is 758 other buyers, other searches out there that this home fits that criteria. Any price adjustment at all, and these 758 people are going to get a notification online.
Right away.
Right away. Now, if we were to lower this price from $395 to $390, we're only going to pick up one additional search. But then if you go down the line here and you look at these price adjustments, $385, you're only picking up two. So that's not really much of an impact. Now we get down to $380, it's going to get picked up in six more searches. But look at this. From $380 to $375, we would pick up 48 additional searches.
Now, that's significant.
It is significant. And then again, you know, $370, we're only picking up 52. So if this seller was to consider a price adjustment, looks here like $375 would be that magic number.
So the other thing, the other point to make here after seeing all this, you're not just pulling these numbers out of a hat. You have some good research. You have some good science behind you when it comes to putting the right price on these houses. This isn't just a random number you're pulling out.
Right, absolutely. And I often like to look at this also when we're pricing a home initially. So with this particular listing here at 431 Sunstein Road, there really were only two, maybe three, but two are sticking out in my mind that were accurate comparables.
Okay.
Both of them were at that 400 or more price point.
Okay.
So our thought is that anyone who has looked at these other two houses and didn't pull the trigger on it, they're definitely going to see ours. They're going to look at ours. They're going to make it a point to come see it. So those are the folks that we're targeting. That's the price bracket and home style we're targeting. So if we come in under at $395, they're going to think, gosh, we looked at these four at $400. This one is the same type of house for $5,000 less, hit the market. And it's seen quite a few showings, no offer yet.
Okay.
And but, you know, here's we had a price adjustment on the way over here. So actually we talked at 8:20, 8:30.
Yep.
And while I was on the horn there with you, the seller of N16265 Size Drive, we've talked about this one on Cochran Lake, not too far from the Pike Chain.
Right.
Just
okay,
over the
north
line in Price County.
Yep.
So, you know, he says, how'd this weekend go? We had one showing, no feedback. When it first hit the market, gosh, we had a lot of showings that first weekend, but interest has kind of died off. We pulled up this same prospecting tool here and talked about where that magic number was, and that magic number was to get that thing under 600.
Okay.
So I actually did it right here in the studio
before
we hopped on air. We reduced that one from 625 all the way down to 599, and so a $25,000 drop on that one, and let's... it'll be interesting to see what kind of response we get from that.
And I was going to ask you, do you have the numbers then as to how many more people come into the market at that number as opposed to the number it was at?
Yes. As a matter of fact, we could have went 5,000 at a whack, which a lot of times I do. If I really feel solid that we priced it right, then what we'll do is we'll keep playing with the folks that have it in their search, and we'll do those 5,000 at a crack. You know, just a small percentage, just to poke them, you know. Hey, there's been a price reduction. They take a second look or a third look. But with this one in particular on Size Drive, we could have lowered that thing 5,000 at a crack and not picked up any new searches at all until we got it down to 600. And then all of a sudden we picked up 55 in one whack right there, new searches. So we talked it over with the seller there, and he says, yeah, let's do it. So right here in the office, as I was putting on the headphones, we actually made that change.
What's give us a description once again for people that don't remember it. Give us a quick thumbnail on that property.
Yeah, so N16265 size drive. This thing is a little over 1,500, almost 1,600 square feet, finished square feet. It's got an unfinished basement with both an interior and an exterior entrance. The lot on this one is darn near level. There's four beautiful stone steps, that big slate steps that get you down to the dock. It's all sand, like a fine gravel, sandy frontage on Cochrane Lake. If anyone's not familiar with Cochrane Lake, it comes in at 111 acres. Maximum depth on that one is 16 feet. And a lot of bass and panfish in that one, and the water is pretty doggone clear. One of the things I like about Cochrane is that it's got several state-owned islands.
Hmm.
So if you're looking to explore or have a little fun, you can buzz around the lake a little bit and then just beach your boat and explore those islands. You're not going to see much boat traffic because the only boat launch on that lake is a private boat launch mm-hmm. for the folks that live there in the Cochrane Lake Association. There is a carry-in that's a little difficult to get into for anyone that wants to kayak or canoe Cochrane. And what about big lake skiing and wakeboarding and things like that? Well, it's not that far away from the Pike Lake chain.
Sure.
So if you want to really make some noise and party, you can just tow down there. But most folks like me, we like a nice quiet, quiet lake. You come up north for peace and quiet.
Mm-hmm.
But in this almost 1,600 square foot, we've got 3 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms. You've got your primary suite in the loft that overlooks the lake, out these big, huge windows out the front of the house. You've got all that space privately to yourself. The main floor, you've got the 2 bedrooms and another bathroom, open concept kitchen, living area with a stone fireplace. One of my favorite things about this home is the three-season porch with the not only just the screen windows, but you've got the sliding plastic, sheeted windows there for when the wind is a little bit too much. And, of course, storage is always big. If you're up north and you've got all the toys, the boats, the kayaks, the ATVs, you've got a 2-car attached garage that fits 2 vehicles easily, and an additional 3-car garage with extra tall doors. So if you got a pontoon, fishing boat, additional vehicles, ATVs, side-by-sides, all that stuff. You've got an additional garage there. Of course, over in that part of the world, it's not super uncommon for the power to go out when the weather is bad or you get a lot of snow.
Right.
Not to worry. This has a whole home generator.
Nice.
That you can go and stay warm, keep the lights on, watch whatever show or game you want while everybody else is suffering through the power loss.
Yeah.
But, this one now at just under 600, I think that's going to be the ticket to get someone to write an offer on this one.
When it comes to rates, that's also something that we've been talking a lot about in the real estate world lately, Ben, and from everything that I've learned. And again, mortgage rates don't always coincide with what's happening at the Fed, but they kept the rates steady now. They're thinking in September, if they do anything, they may go up.
Right.
So again, another word to the wise. If you're waiting on an interest rate, you may be waiting for an awful long time to get back down to where we just came from not too long ago. So again, with that in mind,
right.
This is where we're going to be, it looks like, for the foreseeable future.
Absolutely. And I think one of the negotiation tactics a lot of people forget is that a seller might be willing to reduce the price to attract attention. But they should also look, and buyers should also ask, hey, if you're willing to adjust the price by, X thousand dollars, would you buy down my points? So if it's all about the rate, then a seller, rather than compromising on the sale price of the home, maybe take that same amount of money, apply it to your buyer's loan, and buy down their rate to where they're comfortable.
For me, Ben, sitting down with a professional, putting numbers on a piece of paper where I can see them and then understand them, that's what really seals the deal for me. So anybody else that wants to sit down, put some numbers on a piece of paper, see if this makes sense, I think now is a perfect time to do this, especially with this property.
Absolutely. Yep. With this one, with any property, really.
Yeah.
I mean, if rate is the factor, if rate is the defining factor of whether or not a buyer pulls the trigger, definitely talk about buying down points.
Yeah, and talk to a professional that knows how to get that conversation going to a good outcome. So, Ben, I appreciate your extra time here with us this morning, but we're out of time now. So, as I always end our conversations, how can people get a hold of you and start a conversation one-on-one with you, Ben?
Yeah, time's fun when you're having flies, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, the best way to get a hold of me is a call or a text to 715-550-5683. And as always, you can shoot an email to BenTheManForLand@gmail.com.
Always like talking to you, Ben. Always learn something. And I hope that this conversation maybe will help to put somebody in their dream home real soon.
Well, at least folks know I'm still in it.
Yep, you're still in
it. Still kicking.
That's for sure. Ben, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you.